Now, it's On the Wine Road Live with Jeff Davis, brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Welcome to today's Ask the Expert and On the Wine Road Live. Michelle Marquez is today's producer once again. And I have somewhat of a different topic for today's show, but you can sure bet that it relates to wine as well as distinctive experiences. Welcome, Angel Cayua. Cayua? Of Santa Rosa's fairly new Concha Champagne Bar and Tapas. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You know, anytime my wife and I see champagne and tapas, or one or the other, we immediately get captured by it. And so we went a couple of weeks ago to your place and for the sparkling and tapas. And it was such an unusual experience that I thought that you'd be an ideal guest to let people know what is going on down in that one little space there downtown in Santa Rosa. So, and it's your place.
Yes, exactly.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you ended up, what your career in San Francisco and how you ended up coming up here?
Totally. Well, I pretty much fell in love with the restaurant industry early in my life, and I haven't really jumped a ship from there. You know, I always stayed in the restaurant industry myself. I don't think I can ever do anything else other than just restaurant career, because I love every aspect of it, the loudness, the heat, the constant movement. I get my steps in that way too. Don't have to go to the gym as much because of that. But I we had this concept starting on 2020, and you know, a small thing happened in 2020 where we said, you know what, let's put the brakes on the concept, let's put the brakes on seeing where we're going to land, and we figure out that from there, you know. And so 2022 came along, and
Let me ask you this real quick. So 2020,
yes,
height of COVID,
yes,
were you still working in San Francisco, or
yes,
were you, they didn't close the place where you were?
No, well we momentarily closed for it just to kind of put our heads together and see what we were going to do. I was at Roca Coro San Francisco at the time, and I was a general manager there. I basically had a much say on how to capture our business back again, and and pretty much we started our takeout business, because we were in San Francisco, one of the counties where we have the most restrictions, just because of how many people were in the city and all these businesses. So there were a lot more restrictions in San Francisco than any other county in California. So we had to just only do takeout for a very, very long time while other counties were operating at that point. So we started our takeout on Mother's Day, which it was, you know, we made that decision and see, like, go in with a bang, basically. Right. And you can say, you know, even a well-seasoned chef, actually three chefs, general manager, one of my AGMs, we got rocked that day. Okay. And we said, you know what, we were not ready
beforehand then.
Exactly. Right. We, with the systems that we put in place to make sure that, you know, all tickets were coming out on time and delivery ops were coming in, and just it did not go well for us. So we learned very quickly, we adapted, and then the next day we did a lot better.
It only took one day. That's not too bad. So how did you, so you're saying your new plan came together in 2022, and was that part about coming up here?
Yes, exactly. So my wife and I, we relocated 2020 to Santa Rosa, and obviously I knew Santa Rosa way before her, because I went to the JC here. I went to the Culinary Arts.
Oh, great.
And then that's how I basically just started my passion for the food and wine industry, and went to San Francisco. But going back to the point, we decided that 2022, my wife and I, it was the year to open up our concept, and just figuring out where was the biggest thing. We wanted a restaurant small enough where we can manage ourselves. And that quickly just fell into our lap because a restaurant that we went in, actually the restaurant was called 4th Street Social Club, and
oh, that's right.
We visited the location, and I looked around and I said, man, this could be a really cool wine bar. Funny enough, one morning I wake up and I see an email that opened up, and it was 4th Street Social Club for sale. So I
really?
Said, okay, what do you think about this? You know, and we started all the, you know, the initial engagements and got a broker, and we now are 4 months in on our business.
Right, so right. It is very, very similar to a restaurant you'd see in San Francisco.
Yes.
Long and narrow.
Exactly.
And you said this kitchen is small, like San Francisco small. Restaurants can be too.
Exactly.
Well, the cuisine you offer is a fusion of three cultures. Even the name Cancha is a blend of two cultures, Peru and Japanese. Tell us how you came up
with
that.
Yes. Well, it's a unique meaning. Basically, we made up the word. Cancha with the C, it's a corn nut that is in Peruvian ceviche. That's what adds the crunch to the ceviche. And it's a very traditional dish. I could say it will be like our staple of Peruvian cuisine. Ceviche itself is a Japanese techniques with a Peruvian feeling, Peruvian ingredients. And so we needed something else. We needed a different meaning too, because we wanted to also showcase Japanese food, the culture of it, and also how grateful we are to be in the restaurant industry. So Kansha in Japanese is spelled K-A-N-S-H-A, means grateful. Mm. And so we figure out, well, let's put those two words together.
Yeah, how perfect is that? They're so similar.
Exactly.
Kansha and Kansha.
Exactly.
And they're spelled very similar too. So Cancha, K-A-N-C-H-A, is the name of your place.
Yes.
And the California element is the fresh and local produce. So you have those three cultures coming together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Explain to our listeners how passion and expertise of your food and beverage offerings are showcased through Cancha's dining setup.
Sure thing. We like, when I go out, I always like to make sure that everything that I like to either drink, it's a celebration. So we opened up a champagne bar in Santa Rosa because we wanted to show people that it doesn't have to be a celebration or birthday or any anniversary to celebrate life, and celebration with bubbles, it goes much better. And so we decided to emphasize our list on local yet also champagne selection. From there we grew the menu even more, and you know, we have about 34 wines by the glass. We have some cocktails. We have sake, because sake also goes really well with any type of ceviche or even the mac and cheese that we offer. It's goes really well together, and it actually changes the dish. So our menu emphasizes a lot on the different cultures put together in one place.
And I saw that you're a sake connoisseur.
A little bit here and there, yes. I got an opportunity to take over a very large beverage program in San Francisco, and they had sake. I fell in love with it, and I decided to just embrace it, and I went through studies. I did my WSET level 3 sake, and it was great, fantastic. Yeah. It was very much a whole, it was like about 4 pages long on the theory test. It was a blind taste at the end. It was pretty well put together, and You know, it was a really challenging time, but it was good.
You have like five sakes. And one is the one, a bottle, that's 125?
Yes, that's my favorite sake that I will always put on every list.
So flavors of rose petals, cooked banana, leather, tropical fruit, and steamy night elements. Wow. You didn't bring that in for us to try, did you?
I did not. Not this time. We'll have some at Cancha.
Speaking of experiences, you know, since we brought up the topic of the bar, my wife and I, if we go into a restaurant and they have a bar, often we will sit at the bar because we just like that experience. And sometimes the service is a little quicker, too. So thankfully, because of the previous ownerships, there was a bar there already. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people like us, you have that option, but you also have the tables as well. And usually they're just two tops, but you can put them together, I guess, if you have a group of four. So
yes, totally. A lot of it's a combination, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think having a parklet outside, it also helps as well.
Sure.
A lot of diners are still wanting to strictly just dine outside only. So we have the capability of that as well. So it does help,
great,
honestly.
Well, we'll take a break here and dive in deeper onto the beverage choices that you have. He's Angel Kayawa of Santa Rosa's new Cancha Champagne Bar and Tapas. On the Wine Road Live is brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. We'll be right back.
Life is made up of moments that matter. Those evening bike rides, the best morning waffles and bedtime stories, that first Friday night game. As your public power provider, we at Sonoma Clean Power thrive on sustaining everyday moments. And we know these moments are worth protecting. That's why with every small effort, we're working toward a clean energy future for our families, teachers, neighbors, and those we have not yet met. So let's come together, work together, take care of today and preserve tomorrow. Let's protect the place we call home, the place where our children's children will grow. Join us and power more everyday moments, because the best is yet to come. Learn how your actions can make an even greater impact at poweringeverydaymoments.org. Sonoma Clean Power, powering moments that matter.
On the Wine Road Live continues on KSRO. Brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Flexible real estate financing.
Yeah, that's a new system that they're working on here at KSRO. So they're. There seems to be a ghost in the machine. They're still trying to get a handle on that, but Michelle handled that very well.
Sure.
As well as you could have. We're back, on the Wine Road Live. I'm with Angel Kayawa of Santa Rosa's Cancha Champagne Bar and Tapas. And I mentioned briefly in the first segment that your restaurant offers international creative choices of cuisine. And there's quite a list to go through, but without taking too much time there, I wanted to share what my wife and I had recently when we were in there. From the hot plates menu, we chose the pork belly lettuce cups along with the yucca fries. Mm-hmm. Both were very good. And from the empanadas list, we went with the aji de gallina.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Pulled pork, aji marisol cream sauce, and pecans. And everything was fantastic. And the sauces that you utilize, they're tasty, and it really brings the dishes to life. And I saw that was your mother that kind of inspired a lot of your cooking recipe ideas.
Yes, absolutely. I think the love started earlier, and actually my grandma was the one who would be very traditional, and she would say there's no space for kids over here in the kitchen, so you guys gotta go. But I will always come back to the kitchen and just kind of do a little quick peek of what she's making, and then I would see my grandma in the kitchen almost every single day. That was her thing, and I think her passion for creating dishes and just overall a love for food or feeding her family translated into just getting us to the dinner. Like the table and just getting us all together and sharing one meal. It was just why I think I decided to open up a restaurant.
Hmm. Did some of these sauces that you're using now and the cream sauces, were they used by your Your mom and grandmother?
Yes and no. I don't think I took much of her recipes itself because I'm always trying to add something, making a fusion. And as I mentioned, she was a very traditional person. And if I were to put those two things together, she would be like, that doesn't go there. That doesn't go like. But I had an opportunity to make her a dish that it was completely fusion and made her try it, and she loved it. So I was like, that was my haha moment.
We should point out you're from Lima, Peru.
Yes.
Moved here as a teenager, but you said you just had this desire for Japanese food.
Yes.
And you appreciate that. And so you incorporate a lot of Japanese culture.
Yes.
Their
both cultures are very, obviously they're very different, but they share similarities. And a lot of it is just either techniques or flavors. So on my menu, I always like to mix those two.
I mentioned earlier that I love the selection of beverages you have. Mm-hmm. Cocktails, some featuring sangria, beer and seltzer, hard seltzers, featuring IPAs, Pilsner, a Japanese rice lager, a German-inspired Kolsch-style ale, and the hard mango seltzer. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of your sparkling wines that you feature, because you've got such a great list here. I mean, there's champagnes, there's the Cremant of the Loire Valley, mm-hmm. which is just champagne, but since it's not made in Champagne, they can't call it champagne, so they call it a Cremant. You have that, you have Cava from Spain. How'd you come up with some of these?
A lot of them is through tastings. I think a big part of taking over a beverage program is constantly educating your palate and making or learning new things. So I had always, every time I taking a beverage program from a restaurant, I set up tastings appointments, and every week we will go through a lot of different wines, a lot of different beers, a lot of different everything, and a constant creation of mm-hmm. The menu is what got me to the point where I'm gonna put this on the menu, I'm gonna do that, and I cannot have just a menu to be alone for more than 4 weeks. I have to change it. So there's so many wines that I like to feature. I like to educate people, because a big part of opening a restaurant is educating people as well, not just through food, but to beverage as well. So I'm always changing the menu.
And we should point out, too, that you also have some local varietals here,
absolutely.
Too. You're from Sonoma Coast. You have a Blanc de Blanc and a Brut Rosé from Napa Valley.
Yes.
But also Argentina, France, I mentioned. And then you have a Rosé from Puglia.
Yes.
Italy. And a local favorite, Banshee Wines. They're Rosé of Pinot Noir.
Of course.
White wines from France, Sonoma, Italy, and New Zealand. Red wines from Tuscany. We're talking about dry wines now. Tuscany, Rhone Valley, Crow's Hermitage, which is
my favorite.
Your favorite variety,
yes.
Syrah. Rioja, Argentina, Oregon, and Sonoma, all on your list as well. And then you have these flights that feature other things, like you can get a Sauterne, you can get a Noble Rot wine, a dessert wine. Mm-hmm. So it's, it'd be real easy for a guy like you, especially with a new venture. This is the first time you're owning, right?
Yes.
To just go simple, just choose the ones that will draw people in.
Right.
But you're really expanding it and make it interesting. And that's why I think it's a fantastic place to visit.
Thank you.
So you say you're going to change these a lot. Now, how many of these that we mentioned are still on the list?
Very few that are still on the list. Lot of have changed. But, the menu, it's a recipe book, right? You want to not take too much of something and not add enough of the other. So it has to be a recipe, not for disaster, right? So that's why we change within sections. So if I'm changing a white wine, I'm not going to take it off and put a red wine on it. It will have to stay within that specific region or flavor profile. So if I'm taking out a cava, I most likely will be putting a Cremant de Loire, or if I'm taking out Pinot Noir, I'm probably going to put something on the lighter style varietal, not necessarily a Cabernet for a Pinot Noir.
Right. I'd like to see some Grenache.
Grenache, it is already on the menu.
Oh, it's okay. He's made that change already. Well, you know, the great thing about constantly updating your list, whether it's food and or the beverages, it's going to keep people coming back. What does he have this week or this month?
Already, some of our return guests have already pointed out that the lists have changed since they were here, and that was about the last visit was a month ago. And I was like, you will always see new things on my menu because there are so many things that you want to do. But like I said, you know, we have a small kitchen. We have a small storage unit where we cannot bring so many things in. We cannot bring so much inventory in. So we want to keep things fresh so people can say, oh, I had this previously and now I want to have it again. Well, let me try to give you something different within the same flavor profiles. And I think that's the beauty of doing that.
And is it going to stay that way with these titled wine flights?
No.
Do you keep the titles or you're changing the titles?
Yeah, the titles
too?
Will stay the same, okay, I think. Well, from good. There, we will add some new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, check out these, Michelle. He's got High Society, Bubbly Around the World, California Knows How to Party, All Day Rosé, Sauvage, Ballers. That means like you're going, you know your stuff if you're going with the Ballers.
Yeah.
Dark Knight, Scarlet, Cabernet Passport, and Noble Rot.
This sounds like a party. I like it.
Yeah. And the Noble Rot is the kind that
yes,
it's overaged and it gets the bread. What is it? Not Brettanomyces.
It's a fungus that grows on vines and basically make them the sugar content goes super high.
And it draws the water out and the sugar goes high, and then it stays on the vine a lot longer too. And,
totally.
And then it makes for an incredible tasting dessert wine. It's good to see that you have Royal Tokaj on there. That's popular. And a Sauterne from France.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, you're doing it great. And that's a fantastic location you have there on 4th Street, right at D, just one door or one or two doors in.
Yes.
You said you do have the parklet, so people can stay outside. But it's going to start getting cooler here pretty soon.
Yes. We will see what we're going to do when it starts getting cooler, for sure.
And are you there 7 days a week? Well, you're closed on Monday.
We're closed on Mondays. Yes, okay, we're closed on Mondays. I'm there every day.
Yeah, he's wearing his Chef de Cuisine shirt
I'm
right now.
Heading over there after this.
When do you usually go in? Because you're not open for lunch, right?
We're not open for lunch Monday through Friday. We finally open Saturday and Sunday lunch. We're doing lots of mimosas and things that go really well with brunch, sliders and things like that. So during the week, I have a little bit more like free time to catch up on invoicing and things like that. And then I head over when I feel that the prep list is big enough or small enough, I should say.
Is it just you're open for happy hour during the week, Tuesday through Thursday?
Tuesday through, we have happy hour every day, including weekends as well.
What about Monday?
No Monday.
So then that's not every day.
So we do 4 to 6 happy hour, and follow that we started dinner service. Obviously, people can order things that are on the dinner menu from 4 o'clock. But it seems that our happy hour is catching people's attention. We having some oysters and bubbles. I think who can say no to that?
So dinner every night during the week other than Monday, or just later on the weekend?
We start dinner at 4 o'clock. So our hours basically are as follows. So we do lunch Saturday and Sunday from 11:30 to 2:30. And then we close in between. We reopen at 4 o'clock. and dinner ends at 9 p.m. And Fridays and Saturdays, we close it at 9:30, the kitchen. So people hang out after that. And yeah, it's a really nice place.
Stay open as long as people are there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Until one?
Yeah, we don't kick anybody out. That's one of the biggest policies that I encourage a lot of people that own places to do.
Well, that's good to know. Is your wife involved?
Yes. She is involved, not physically in the restaurant, but she is helping a lot with things that need updated on menus. She's more tech savvy than I am, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I give her that. So she does help me with whatever I can't figure out. So she is like putting menus online, things like that. She is there. She's a big part of that.
Great. Well, it's so nice to meet you finally. Concha Champagne Bar and Tapas, downtown Santa Rosa. And Concha, KanchaSR.com.
Yes.
Continued success to you.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. I'm Jeff Davis. On the Wine Road Live is brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week. And I will talk to you this Saturday at 1:05 here on KSRO.